that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a beautiful radio ranch here. February 18th, 2017. Time just marches on, waits for no man. And the sunrise, it's a coming up. A little partly cloudy this morning, but a beautiful day here. And we welcome you. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
We say good morning again to you, the remnant, and good morning, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here to join us, and we ask you to do that very thing, to join us this morning and to be with us. Well, John, if you'll open up in prayer, we'll just see where we go from there, brother.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you give us. Father, forgive us for so many times when we take for granted even the smallest blessing that you provide for us each and every day. Father, forgive us for not thanking you every morning for all of our blessings. So we do, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings that you've given us. We ask for your continued grace and mercy and your continued blessings to be upon us. And Father, we forbid the enemy from operating in our lives today, from operating in our wives' lives today, or from operating in our children's lives today. Father, we pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around ourselves, our families, and all that you've blessed us with. Father, we ask that you would just guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding, that you would lead us to the current events, biblical truths, prophetic understanding, whatever it is that you would have your people to learn this morning, Lord, including ourselves. We say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? So, Father, grant a special anointing upon your people, those that seek to do your will, those whose desire is complete obedience, to love you with all of their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Father, we don't know if they're just, but you do. Father, they made promises, and it appears on the surface that they're trying to keep some of these promises. But Father, we ask that you would hold them to these promises, that even if they want to sway from the things that they said that they would do for your people, that you would hold them to their promises. And if they don't, that you would replace them, Lord. But we do pray for protection for those who are in positions of authority. Pray for wisdom, Lord, of all the gifts and all the money that Solomon had, all the wealth, wisdom was his greatest. So, Father, give our administration godly wisdom. Give your people, the remnant, godly wisdom. Give us more Holy Spirit, Father. Grant us within the body those greatest gifts, Lord, so that we can take this country back to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And it's in that name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, for those tuning in, this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hope you've joined us as we are. We've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and here we are. And we have the Holy Spirit with us as well, because we've asked for it. And His Word says, wherever two or more gather in His name, and that name is the name of Jesus Christ, that He is there also. And we believe that. I know these men believe it. I believe it. And so that is how we gather. Hopefully you're reading your Bibles. In the Bible reading plan this week, we've read through the book of Matthew. And there have been several things that have jumped out at me that I know they've always been there that I don't recall seeing in the past. And that's one, just one, of the many benefits of reading through the Word. You see these gems that jump out, these G-E-M-S, these rubies, these little treasures that maybe you didn't see before. Maybe before when you read it, you were at a different time in your life, different circumstances. Maybe it just wasn't as important as some other things when you read through it before. But now, maybe this past week, things have changed. And as we grow, we are to grow in His grace and knowledge. We don't just do that out on your own. You know, children grow, but they don't grow without help. They don't grow without food and exercise and guidance and wisdom. It's not a good growth for children if they don't have that good nutrition. I've got a young son that's having growing pains the last couple of weeks, and his legs, they just ache. And John, I know you've probably had children go through that, and Jason, you have it if you haven't already. And those growing pains, and I remember having them growing up, they hurt. But that's how it is. That's part of life. And he has to do his stretching. He has to make sure he's eating the right foods and taking his supplements and getting exercise while the weather's decent outside. And that helps the growing pains. And it works with them to produce a good fruit once it's over with. And can be an expensive fruit, because then he's going to need all new jeans because he's growing straight up. And John, I know yours have done the very same thing. And that's how it is with the physical growing pains. But sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like that when we read the Word. And I have to tell you, reading through Matthew this time, this past week, one of the things that's jumped out at me is how much the Bible has talked about these demons and the paralytics and the those that were healed, not only of the physical afflictions, but of the, whether you call them mental or spiritual afflictions as well. And it is just that way all through here. Anyway,
wait till you get to Acts.
Oh, exactly. And I think that, or let me ask you a question. Is that not how the Holy Spirit works? When you read through His Word, when you ask, seems like I read in here somewhere, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And so if we ask, we'll get it. You might not get it right then, but our children ask for things and they don't always get it right then, right? I mean, that's how our family's life is. We ask for things in the world. We don't always get them right then, but usually, you know, our children ask for things. if it's in with reason, eventually they might get them. Seek and you will find. That doesn't mean sit and keep your nose glued to the TV and God is just going to pour wisdom into you or discernment. It takes time and effort, reading through His Word, praying, applying His Word, then reading it again, then applying it some more, and then realizing, I applied that wrong. I didn't get that. And sometimes that happens. I know it happens in my life sometimes. Wait, I thought I was doing that, but maybe not. Anyway, that's just my comments on
just in the last several weeks, there have been several of our brethren who've finally seen the truth and the critical importance of being properly baptized. And one of the things that Acts 2:38 says is that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, it unlocks the truths that are in this, the Word of God. Things that we've never seen before, that we weren't able to see before we had the gift of the Holy Spirit, now you're a member of the body, and the Lord will show these things to you if you desire. That's the beauty of the Bible, is that it's the living Word, right? That no matter, this book will never get old. This book will never stop giving for those that keep searching. And that's quite a, I mean, this is the only book that I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is the only book that can make that promise. But there's things hidden in here that we don't even see, and we won't see until the proper time. Just like Daniel said, God told him to seal these things until the proper time. So, that's pretty good. And also the promise that in the last days, knowledge would increase.
Amen.
And I think we're witnessing that. I think we're seeing that the knowledge is increasing.
And I think many times when we think knowledge is increasing, I do anyway, I tend to think of that in man's terms. College degrees and knowledge increasing to where all this, people know these things. But it's not from man's perspective, it's from God's. And it's His knowledge that's increasing. One thing that jumped out at me, and
because the knowledge of man is a double-edged sword. The knowledge of God is not a double-edged sword. The knowledge of God is beneficial to His people. The knowledge of man is beneficial to His people and the enemy, and they've used it against us time and time again.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Amen. Amen.
No, I don't know if you guys saw, it's almost somewhat comical, I guess, but this storm that's hitting Southern California, that's threatening that dam out there, the next name on the Southern California weather force list is Lucifer.
Really?
You hear that?
No.
Yeah.
Man,
I didn't.
He'll certainly pack a major punch with areas in Ventura North and westward, starting as early as Thursday, so it's already been hitting. Strongest effects will be on Friday and Saturday. And then apparently also they said that there's been two small earthquakes near Lake Oroville in the last 24 hours, which appear to be the result of the vast lake level changes. So they're far from out of danger. And when you're dumb enough to call a storm Lucifer,
you're bound and determined to have a hell of a storm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting.
That
you know, and then now we got this new TV show called Lucifer. I haven't seen it. Don't want anything to do with it. In fact, if I ever do even see an advertisement for it, I pray against it. But people, I don't know. It's interesting. I watched Gold Rush. I kind of like that show because of the heavy equipment and the construction and stuff like that. So I'll confess my sin. But one of the key miners in there got this new biggest, baddest sluicing machine, which is where they actually get the gold out of the dirt and the rock that they mine. And I'll be damned if he didn't call it Sluicifer.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. So you know, you see these things, and sometimes you wonder if they're just innocent mistakes, or you know, who knows. There's a lot of people that have made deals with the devil, and these kind of things. I suppose when you name them and you don't understand the truth, or if you do it knowing the truth, there's consequences both ways, I would say.
Amen. Well, when Satan...
Well, I think there's a lot of times when people do stuff like that and they know exactly good and darn well what they're doing. We have a hard time even believing that somebody would do that, but, I mean, it's out there, and then they're real.
Amen.
Yep.
They are. They are. In
you know, I was driving downtown the other day, and I saw there was a truck, and this gal was driving... And she had the bumper sticker on the back of her truck. One of them said "slut," and the other one said something along those lines too. And I just thought, you know, where have we gone, and why are you know, and you know, that used to be a shameful thing. That used to be something that a girl did not want to be, and even if she was, she didn't want to be called that. And now they're proud of it. I mean, that's. That you know, I mean, it's just changing mentality, you know, and it's one of those things that it's changed in you know just recent times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it has not been a change. We look at it; it has certainly not been a change for the better. For the world, it has. For the world, it has, and the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Because that is what that does. It steals their joy when they claim that. We understand the power of words. We understand that it is, as you say, it isn't like Revelation, I think, 12:11. That's how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You think some girl, I can tell you, I don't have to ask, some girl running around calling herself a slut is not an overcomer. That is the fruit of that stealing, killing, and destroying. That is the fruit of what the thief has come to do.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, it shows you how things are changing, you know. On another note, it was one of the things that I did see this week was I thought was pretty interesting was that they're finally saying that Merkel over in Germany, Angela Merkel, is coming up for re-election in the next 6 months. And, you know, basically they said that all along that they've said that she's just had it. She's going to win, and all of a sudden everything's changing, and they don't think she's going to get in anymore. And that's something that I would ask people to pray about, too, because the situation over there, it's gotten so bad under her, and she is such a... she's a tyrant, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. She's a traitor,
yeah.
To the German people.
And she's brought in destruction and destruction, and she's destroyed that. And those are our brothers and sisters over there. for a large part of them. I mean, there are people. It's been tyranny on the land and coming from, you know, their government system. And so, you know, coming up, it's they got 6 months until election, and, you know, I know prayers have been answered over here, and I know that prayers can be answered over there, too, but I would ask that people would pray for that situation over there, too, because, you know, just like John said, she's a traitor, she's a tyrant, she's, you know, she's one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and she's, you know, raping and pillaging a nation over there. And, so I think that there's been a major shift in their movement over there too, and it's something to definitely keep in prayer.
Absolutely. Well, you can see that they're getting worried that their global new world order is crumbling as people continue to wake up, not only in this country but throughout the world. And they're extremely worried about it. I don't know if you saw this week, there was an article about Abomination running a shadow government within a couple miles of the White House. And basically, you know, if you think about how many people are working in the White House, unfortunately, they're not cleaning house of all of those who worked for the Abomination. And to be able to work for a tyrant and a traitor like that, you have to have a different mentality. So there's still a whole bunch of those that are woven within the new administration, and we can see that they're doing everything they can to sabotage what President Trump's trying to do. But it's interesting for sure. I think we need to make sure that we don't let down on our guard for prayer. I think one of the most important things that we can pray is that the things done in the dark would be brought to the light, because there's a lot of things that have been done not only through the Abomination but through the Bushes, and probably going back as far as you can remember. I remember our pastor would tell us about these new congressmen that would get to Washington, D.C. and they to the Devil City, and they're preparing to do the will of the people, but the flesh is weak, they're weak, maybe they're not strong Christians, maybe they haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, maybe there's conduits to demons that have been opened, or doors that have been opened, and they fall into sin, and temptation, and lust, and as they do that, those things are recorded, and when it comes time for a vote, they send a little snippet of that video that they took that would destroy not only their political career, well, probably wouldn't destroy their political career these days, but it sure would destroy their marriages, their families, and I believe it 100% that that's exactly what happens. And sometimes when you just scratch your head and you say, how could they possibly vote for that? Well, that's how. But what we need is a house cleaning. We need to get rid of all of those that have made deals with the devil, all of those that have been compromised by their own means, and bring in some righteous, God-fearing Christians who won't be affected by those kind of things.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, and it ties in with, you know, there's so much stuff going on and there's so much stuff to talk about, but, you know, it was kind of interesting today. Pope Francis had his big address, and I wanted to address the world, I guess, is what the way they put it, but he said on Friday that Christian terrorism does not exist, Jewish terrorism does not exist, and Muslim terrorism does not exist. They do not exist. Francis said in his speech, to a world meeting of populist movements.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And, you know, you think about it, what do we, you know, a terrorist is somebody that's fighting against, it just really shows you what side they're on. Because we know that these things exist, and we know that these things are happening. And when you come out and you say that, oh, they're not terrorists, then you're saying that they're on our side. They're on, you know, they're our allies.
Well, the other thing that it points out is they don't want to differentiate between Christians, Muslims, Catholics, anybody. They push that brotherhood of man that we're all the same, no matter what. And that's just not
all
so.
Worship the same God.
Right. And that's not how it is. That's not how the Bible is. It's if that's the Baal and the Ishi and the Ashtoreth, and if you want to worship those gods that those people worship, then you go ahead. As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that line is being drawn. The tares, like the Pope and those people of Hollywood and in the what we have characterized and what we see and what associate themselves with the left in this nation, it's like the time of the tares and the wheat. They are standing up tall and proud. They want to be associated with that new world order. They want to be associated with that you talk about, Jason, that, oh, we're just, no, there's no Christian, there's no Muslim, there's no this, we're all the same. And it is not that way. It is not that way. If you read in Matthew 12, if you read that this week, and if you didn't, I encourage you to do it. Read Matthew 12. It talks about the Sabbath. And just verse 1 through 7. And it talks about, or actually there's more of it. You have to read on through to about 14. But it's Jesus talking about the Sabbath and talking to these people of the day, these Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus heals a man, heals his withered hand on the Sabbath. Now, if someone was healed, we saw a woman who had withered hands in Florida at a camp gathering years ago, probably 10 years ago. And she was there with her husband, and they came in, and they requested prayer, and they got they were prayed over by the elders. She was anointed. And that evening, her hands had been restored. I remember seeing it. There were other people on the ministry that saw it. Our pastor saw it, was involved with it. It was a healing. And we were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. We were rejoicing. We were, in the Mr. Phil's vernacular, happy, 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 that this woman who had these claws for hands, the way her hands were all withered up, had been restored. And I would think we would all be happy at someone being healed, whether it was on the Sabbath or Tuesday night at midnight. Doesn't matter, right? If someone's healed.
Absolutely.
But there were those here, if you read verse 14, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as how they might destroy him. And that's that other attitude that was mentioned earlier. That's that other way of thinking that our pastor taught us about, to be aware of, to understand that there are those out there that are creatures of instinct that are created to be destroyed, that don't care anything about, they didn't care about this man being, that he had lived his life with the withered hand. They didn't care about that. They wanted their control. They wanted their power. And it is the same way today. There are those, and if they're not like this, they stand and want to be like this. Those that care not for human life and that conspire together as to how they might destroy him and how they might destroy us for doing the good works. There's that hated without a cause. Hated not because they'd done something worthy of being hated for, but hated because it was Jesus Christ. And the world hated him then, and the world hates him now, and the world will always hate him. There'll be a day that every knee will confess him and every knee will bow. This jumped out at me too, reading that this past week, in that it truly points out that there are some that do not understand the word, that claim to, that do not understand the word, that misrepresent it. And I think the Pope falls right in there, because so many people are either brainwashed or willingly duped to follow this Antichrist as a religious leader of the land. I think that certainly fits in as a Sadducee or a Pharisee. That is more like the blind leading the blind, and they're both going to fall into the pit. But read that Matthew 12, folks, if you're listening in. Read that if you haven't read it this week. And see the difference. See the difference. And ask yourself if you were there. What if you were there on the Sabbath, in the place of worship? And if it was your uncle or the man that you just used to pass by on the way to work every day, and you'd see him out there with his withered hand, trying to get by. And then he was healed. And then he didn't have a withered hand anymore. Praise the Lord, he's whole. He can use both his hands to work, to hold his wife or his child, to do the things, to tie his shoes or his sandals as they had, to do the things that we take for granted. Now, would you be happy, happy, happy that he got healed? Or would you be wanting to conspire together as to how you might destroy the man who healed him? And I think we have to be careful today. We have to be careful today that when these attesting miracles, when these works of power, because they still happen today, that when they happen, that we don't want to damn to hell the vessel that God and the Holy Spirit works through to do the healing. Now, in that day, of course, it was Jesus Christ. There were times that the apostles healed. And there are times that there's healing that God uses people to move his power through to heal today. Let us rejoice that they're healed.
We talked about on Wednesday night prayer meeting, Matthew 4, something that the Lord brought to my attention was the news about him spread throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed them to Galilee. And the thing I wanted to say is it specifically lists epileptics, and in the King James it lists a type of palsy, like cerebral palsy kind of things. So these things that the world would say are genetic, physical deformities were being healed.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing that our God can't heal. He said six Amen. Times greater things than this you will do. And sometimes I think he grows tired of us asking him to do the things that he said that we can do if we have the faith. I mean, is it difficult to get to that point where you have the faith to say, you know, for this mountain to move and it moves? Yeah, absolutely. But the only way you can get there is by continuing in the Word of God, by continuing to strive to that complete obedience where we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. It's called sanctification, and it's something that we're going to start touching on as well. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be the theme for Branson this year. I think it's the next step. But it's important that those that are called, that want to be chosen, understand what sanctification is. There's a lot of responsibility, right? With great reward comes great responsibility. So, the Lord willing, that's going to be the theme for Branson this year, as well as I think a goal that we all need to strive for, those that don't only want to be called, but also be chosen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll be looking for that.
And that complete obedience doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean that we become perfect. We strive to. His word tells us right here in Matthew, you know, he is holy, so we are to be holy. He is perfect. We are to be perfect. We're to try. We are to work and make the right decisions to work in that direction, to do our best to attain that, to pray for that. Two times here in Matthew, verse 13, and then again in Matthew 12, verse 7, Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees, and he says, "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." And back in Matthew 9, he says, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice." And we see that twice there. And that compassion means mercy.
That sounds like a message I brought last week.
It does. It does. And here it is twice in Matthew. And he is telling them, if you had known what this means, that I, meaning God, desires compassion and not a sacrifice. Does that mean it does away with the sacrifice? No. But what does God desire? And I remember that being in there, but there it is twice.
Without love, it means nothing.
Yes.
So if you're doing all of these things just for your own notoriety or to grow your mega church, or a lot of these false Pentecostal churches, they set these things up just for money. If you're not doing any of these things that the Lord said that we would do out of love for your brethren, then depart from me. I do not know you.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
Amen, it is. And that word...
If we're doing it for our own self-satisfaction, yes, or for our own self... I don't want to say gratification, but our own self... empowerment, or just to be acknowledged by the world, then there's no humility, and without humility there's no recognition. It's just like in Matthew as well, how the Lord told us, when you fast, put oil upon your head and do not show that you're haggard, but let no one know that you're fasting, because if we seek the reward of the people, the same as if we give, if the Holy Spirit convicts us to give money or to give time, talent, or treasure, whatever it is, and we seek to have that notoriety, we seek for the people around us to see what we've done, then we don't get our reward from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same with fasting. All of these things, they have to be done in humility and out of love for our brethren.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen. And when he says here twice, "I desire compassion," that word means mercy. He says, "I desire mercy rather than sacrifice." And that references back to Hosea 6:6, when God he starts it out, says, and the word is, "Come, let us return to the Lord." And down in verse 6, it's God speaking. He says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice." And that loyalty means loving kindness. So God says, "I delight in loving kindness rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And he puts it in perspective. He doesn't change it, doesn't change the law, doesn't change that. It fulfills it. It explains it in a better way. It adds the spirit of it to it. And that's the goal. That's one of the goals of our reading. That's the goals of our understanding, is that we get to the point that we make the right choice. We have to have that compassion and mercy in what we do. And John, you did. You brought that article, that message. We've got it, part of it in the newsletter, this newsletter volume 2. And it talks about that mercy, that compassion, that love. And that's a choice we have. You read that again, Matthew 12, starting in verse 33. He says, either make the tree good or make the tree bad. He doesn't say the tree is already made good or made bad. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. So if you want to have good fruit, make your tree good. Make good decisions. Put good things before your eyes. Put good things before your ears. and the things that are bad, turn away from. Don't put the bad things before your eyes. Don't do the things that, even if you've done them in the past, if you want to have the good fruit, make the tree good. I think that points out that we have that his people have a choice in that. They have a choice in that. You can choose to have mercy. You can choose to have compassion. Or you can choose to be like those Pharisees and Sadducees that were upset because Jesus didn't do it the way they thought he ought to do it.
Yep, for sure. Getting back to this bridge thing in California, I was reading an article and about the deteriorated infrastructure within this country. And if you remember, the Obama nation and probably the several presidents before that had sold huge deficit spending on improving our infrastructure. Well, we all know that didn't happen, and the majority of that trillion-plus dollars was used primarily against the American people in surveillance and other things, DHS. But anyways, I read an article here that 1 in 9 of the country's bridges are rated as structurally deficient, meaning that they would require significant maintenance or rehabilitation or replacement. And then the list goes on and on, but they also talk about how the dam or how the bridge in Minnesota failed. Well, we all know why that failed. That was in the district where that Congressman Ellis, the first Muslim, and I believe the only Muslim right now in the House or the Senate, I think he's a representative, was sworn in on the Quran, and it was, I believe, that weekend that bridge collapsed. But the other thing is, it says that of the 84,000 dams in the U.S., 14,000 are considered high hazard and 4,000 are deficient. And then 42% of the country's major urban highways are considered congested, and 32% of major roads in the U.S. are in poor or mediocre condition. I think most of them are in Colorado, especially if you drive a truck. But, yeah, it's just, they're saying that there's 240,000 water main breaks in the U.S. each year, and many water mains pipes are over 100 years old. And even our airports, runways and things like that are deteriorating. Some of our major locks that pass barges are deteriorating. Railroads are not really deteriorating. They're probably one of the ones that actually do the best at maintaining infrastructure, I would say. But they're becoming congested to the point where additional rails need to be built. And you know how these railroads affect traffic in towns. That's not something that can be easily done either. But I think it's just important to understand that we have this deteriorating infrastructure happening all around us.
Yes. Yes, I think it shows that we, at one time, we had this grand nation, this grand country with good roads and good airports and a sufficient rail and infrastructure, water, power, all of that, electricity, and it ain't that way no more. And this dam, I'm glad you mentioned that. Good Lord willing, I've got some pictures and some things together for a scriptural review of the news tomorrow morning for starting early at 8:30 Mountain Time to talk about this very thing, that how this Lake Oroville Dam and what's happened out there shows the change. It shows the difference. I think it's symbolic of the failing infrastructure in this land. And the bridge collapse back on I-35 West in Minnesota a few years ago shows some of the very same thing of the failing infrastructure in this land and why. We've heard, I know my gas taxes have gone up. I'm not paying less in gas or gas taxes than I ever have. and that gas tax, that road tax, to maintain the federal highways. How about drive to Branson and we drive across I-70 that's now a toll road? It's a pretty decent road when you drive through it, but it's a toll road built with taxpayer money on taxpayer land, and now it's a toll road, and that's happened all over. Because we're not we're not paying enough in taxes to keep the roads up. They have to put tolls on the road.
We used to be able to take back roads to go to the airport. And I think it's not by accident that they've got the main road that you used to be able to take without taking the toll road all tore up. And then I took it still the other day, and it drew you like 5 miles out of in line with where you needed to go, and then brought you back around. And that's not by accident, so that you have to take the toll road. And it's not cheap. It's probably $8 to go to the airport and back. So, yeah, just like you said, they're where does all that money go? That's the question.
Right. My people,
Jason was talking about
plundered
some good regulations. Regulations that have just been removed in regarding the coal industry. So was that you were talking about, Jason?
Yeah, it's that's one of the things that's really hit a lot of places. These coal mines all across the United States have been pretty much shut down under the Obama administration, based on EPA regulations, rules, and regulations. There was a coal mine up in Alaska that went to having over 200 people working at it. Went down to having 20 people working at it. They had that. They were mining some of the purest coal that was that's found in the world. And right now, Asia has been in need of our coal, because is what they do is they take the coal and they export it over to Japan, China, Chile. And they mix it with their coal, and we have such a high grade coal coming out of some of these mines, especially the mines in Wyoming and some of the mines in Alaska, that it is that they can actually take our coal and they mix it with their coal, and they can reduce the emissions. It brings the NOXs down on it, and it's a very desirable product. One of the things that happened under the Obama administration was that they had banned the export of coal. And they actually, up in Alaska, they had completely taken out the coal shipping yards. They had it where they were trucking it down to the coast and putting it on ships and sending it all over the world. And after they mandated it, they said that, they just never thought that they'd get away. They thought it was just the end of the coal industry. Up there it was quite interesting, because you're talking about a town that's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's the coal mine that the town was built around, and that's what everybody that was in town, the money came from the coal mine. Everybody that was working at the coal mine was making over $100,000 a year. They took care of their people, they provided good jobs for them, and it basically built a community out of this off of this coal mine. So when that happened, the town pretty much dried up. There wasn't anything there. People are having a hard time making ends meet, and it turned into more of a retirement community than anything else. And with that coming back, it's that's just one incident that where it's going to affect. Same thing up in Wyoming. Wyoming was one of those places that we have a huge oil, gas, and coal industry, and mm-hmm. What comes off the taxes, just the taxes that come out of that gold mine or that coal mine is what keeps people's taxes in the state of Wyoming low. We have relatively low property taxes, and there's no state income tax. And that's based off of the oil and gas and coal industry. And that was coming to a screeching halt. And with this new yesterday or the day before, I can't remember exactly what day it happened, but Trump lifted all the EPA regulations on coal mining. lifted that and, you know, had him into the White House and said, okay, well, I'm sure when you guys were here last year, you guys went into the Oval Office, didn't you? And they all said, no, we weren't allowed in there. And he's like, well, let's come on inside. And he took him inside and he got pictures with him and stuff and you know, really understood that, you know, coal is one of the heartbeats of America. It's one of the things that the nation's founded on. So it was kind of encouraging to see that, and I hope that they get that going real soon, because that was that is one of the things that's good for the economy, and it creates a lot of jobs, and we need it.
Amen.
Yeah, I was reading Obamanation administration passed nearly 4,000 EPA regulations, and we've heard the stories too of just good American families that were thrown in jail for collecting rainwater, or for maybe they had some heavy equipment and they built a pond, or, you know, just unbelievable crazy things that this EPA has, like everything else government related, got out of control, and that hopefully will get someone reined in.
Yeah,
hopefully. I saw a video of it was a Mr. Murray or Murphy, and he's the CEO of Murphy Energy. I think it was Murphy, just about 2 weeks ago, and he's a coal man with a coal industry, and he said, I can compete. Coal can compete. You hear all this from the left wing that, oh, coal can't compete with natural gas and solar and electric and all, and it's all a bunch of bunk. You're right. Coal is part of the heartbeat.
True.
It is not true. It's part of the heartbeat of America. If when you take the government subsidies that these left-wing liberals have been pouring out for the last couple of generations on solar and electric energy, then you see that coal does compete. And like he said, you give me a level playing field and I'll compete. And that's the American way. That is the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And it most of the people understand it involves work. And that's the problem here with how can an American compete when you have, how can you compete with things made in China that are made with slave labor and then made on the other side of the world with our junk and then shipped over here and sold cheaper than it can be made here? That's not a level playing field, and it's that way on the energy side. It really is. These EPA, the government has been pouring money in subsidies to solar and electric, and there's wind farms all over the West out here, and it's government money that's been subsidized, that's been put into these as subsidies, and then at the same time it's really not producing any new jobs, and then they're cutting jobs in coal and oil because this EPA has put all these unattainable regulations on them that the EPA just comes up with. The EPA, that they're not elected, they're not held accountable. They don't have to go in and say, well, because of this, because we're poisoning the streams, or because of this, and here's the studies, and this, we have to make things better. No, they just go in and close it down. I'd say you have to be 100 times cleaner than you are when no other industry can do that, and even the coal and the oil can't do that. So it's good to see that some of these frivolous regulations are being done away with, and I think that's a good step in the right direction. You remember on the campaign trail, it was out in, I think, Virginia or Kentucky, that the Hillary was out there, and the man steps up to him and he says, why don't you care about me and my family? Your regulations from your left-wing liberals have cost me my job. Oh no, we love coal. We're making coal jobs. They say what they want. It's what they've always done. Hopefully, as you said earlier, John, they keep their promises. This was a promise that our new president made to the coal industry. I think it's a step in the right direction along those lines.
Which is part of the reason he went to Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania is a big coal producing state as well. But hopefully he'll rein in some of the regulations on vehicles too. I mean, these diesel regulations are ridiculous. If you own a turbo diesel pickup, you understand that when they took the sulfur out of the diesel, your mileage dropped by 4 or 5 gallons or miles per gallon, which is significant if you think about it. And the other thing is this deal with Volkswagen. I don't know if anything can be changed with that, but here shortly you won't be able to bring a Volkswagen diesel vehicle into this country based on that ruling that they were cheating on their emissions of their vehicles. So if you're wanting to get a Volkswagen diesel or Audi or any German-produced diesel, better do it quick, because that ban is supposed to come into effect very soon, that's what I hear.
Yeah. I think that's along the same lines of trying to appease these unappeasable, unattainable regulations and EPA stuff.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So the people have had to resort to other means. And not that that's good to do, but it drives people to do things like that, unfortunately. Well, guys, we're about out of time.
They're saying, too, that DEF fluid that they're making you, the new diesels have to have these DEF injection systems that I read an article the other day that they're admitting that that doesn't work, doesn't do anything. But how many billions and billions of dollars did it cost all of these manufacturers to install these systems into these diesel vehicles that now they admit that don't work?
Yeah. And who pays for that? Who pays for that? We do. We do. Yep. We pay for that. The companies, the corporations, they just pass it on, whether it's a tax or a new cost. They pass it on to the people, and we pay for it. We pay for it. One less loaf of bread this month, one less gallon. You would think, if things were working logically, anything that would cause your vehicles to get less mileage would not be good. No, let's get more mileage. No. We have to take the sulfur out so we get less mileage. It's insanity. Well, guys, we're out of time. We want to invite you folks, come to church with us tomorrow morning. We're going to start early, 8:30 Mountain. Good Lord willing, I'll have a scripture review of the news. We'll talk about that Oroville Dam a little bit, and then we'll have our pastor's message and a live message as well. So we encourage you to do that. Join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Well, thanks, men. Have a blessed day. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Thanks.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Moving, though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.